Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The book of Colossians is the third of the four books that we call prison letters. Like the others in this group, it was written about 60 to 62 AD, while Paul was in house arrest in Rome, awaiting an audience with Caesar. This letter is one of the few that Paul wrote that was not addressed to a church with which he was intimately acquainted. He was not a stranger to them, however. The church in Colossae owed its existence largely to the work of Epaphras, who was converted in Ephesus during Paul's nearly 3 years of ministry there. The reason for Paul's letter to this church was to combat a series of false teachings that had somehow arisen in the congregation. Some commentators have taken the view that the false teaching in Colossae was Gnosticism, which was not fully developed until the 2nd century AD. For this reason, they dismiss Paul as the author. However, upon examination, the false teachings that Paul addressed were not full-blown Gnosticism, but were the seeds of what later became Gnosticism. The primary concerns that Paul addressed were an emphasis on ceremonialism and asceticism, an exaltation of angels with a corresponding depreciation of Christ, the rise of so-called secret knowledge, and a reliance upon human wisdom and tradition. To combat these false teachings, Paul presented an exalted Christ, who is the very image of God, and who is the co-creator and sustainer of the universe. He also presented Christ as the head of the church, and the fullness of deity in human form. One of the ways in which Paul sought to correct the false teachings in this church was to command them to focus their minds on the only source of true spiritual maturity. For a few moments today, we will consider Paul's instruction, which is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. In this place, Paul said, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Now these words begin the second half of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and they come after he had taken great care to remind them of the supremacy of Christ over all else that exists in the world. This declaration was necessary because of the false teachings that diminished the power and authority of Christ. The church in Colossae needed to understand that nothing else could take the place of the Son of God, who shed his blood to cleanse them from sin. Having dealt with these issues in chapters 1 and 2, Paul began chapter 3 with a statement, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ." Now, this statement was not posed as if Paul were asking what their relationship with Christ might be. The word "if" in this context actually carries the force of the word "since." In other words, Paul was saying, "Since you have been raised up with Christ." Now, this was a direct reference to their baptism into Christ, by which they had been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. This is the same language that Paul used in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, to describe the Christian's relationship with the Lord, having been baptized into Christ, united with him in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen to what he said in that text. "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." Now Paul's point is that one who has been baptized into Christ has, by that obedience, died to sin and has been raised to live a new life that is different from his old way of life. In Romans 6, this change is characterized as the body of sin being done away with and being replaced by a life that has been freed from sin. In Colossians chapter 3, this change is described as seeking the things above and setting one's mind on things above rather than on the things that are on the earth. This is a fundamental change in one's mental perspective, which manifests itself in changed behavior. The focus of attention for one who has been raised up with Christ, that is, for one who is a Christian, is to be on the Lord and on spiritual things. He must no longer place worldly things at the top of his list of priorities. Now, this does not mean that a Christian ignores or neglects the needs and responsibilities of life. Instead, it means that he takes care of these things in the context of putting the Lord first in his life. One who has his mind set on things above will seek the Lord's will first in every aspect of his life. And when he does so, he will be a more godly custodian of his earthly responsibilities. Having been raised up with Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of sins is a powerful reason for setting one's mind on things above. But there is another important reason for doing so. In verses 3 and 4 of our text, Paul reminded the Colossians that they had died, that is, they had died to sin, and their life was now hidden with Christ in God. He also reminded them that glory was waiting for them if they set their minds on things above. Now, what does this mean? Well, first of all, when death occurs, a separation takes place. In physical death, it is the separation of the spirit from the body. In spiritual death, it is the separation of the soul from God. As Paul used this imagery, he meant the separation of the individual from a life characterized by sinful conduct. One who has been baptized into Christ has been separated from his past sins. Since he has been separated from these sins by the blood of Christ, he is not to return to them. Second, in baptism, one is clothed with Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul said, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." In other words, the sinful person that one was has been hidden by Christ, and God no longer sees his sins, but only sees his beloved Son. Certainly, since Christians are clothed with Christ, their actions must be consistent with the spiritual clothing that they wear. Finally, there is a reward for setting one's mind on things above. Paul said that glory is promised to those who set their minds on things above when the Lord comes in his glory at the end of time. This glory is manifested in the separation that God will make a judgment between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous will be glorified as faithful slaves of Christ to enter the joy of their master for all time. They will be ushered into heaven to the place that has been prepared for them, while the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. Surely these are all strong motivations for setting one's mind on things above. Since it is clear that Paul commanded Christians to set their minds on things above, we need to know how to do so. The first and most obvious answer to this question is to change the things that we are dwelling on. Like the player who fails to perform well because his mind is not on the game, too many of us are struggling in our walk as Christians because our minds are set on worldly things. Now, it is important to recognize that a mind set on worldly things may not necessarily be set on evil things. A mind set on evil things certainly falls into this category, but so do a lot of things that are not inherently evil. There are many good things, such as school, or work, or sports, or hobbies, or family and friends, which can keep us from setting our minds on things above. If we give so much attention to these things that we don't give proper attention to spiritual things, then we need to change our focus in life. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul gave clear direction as to what should be occupying our thoughts. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Literally, Paul said, "Ponder these things." Now, some translations say, "Think on these things," but that conveys the meaning, doesn't it? The point is that it takes time for us to do this, and we cannot do what Paul commanded if our minds are focused on other things first. What we have here is a faith issue. Do we truly believe God's word, or are we trying to hedge our bets? Or are we unconvinced or unconcerned about what God's word says? What we do in life demonstrates what we think about these things. If we treat schoolwork as more important than preparation for or participation in Bible study, it says something about where our thinking lies. If we can speak authoritatively and confidently about our work or our hobbies or our sporting interests, but we cannot or will not speak with equal passion about spiritual things, it says something about where our minds are set. If we twist and distort Scripture in order to excuse worldly pursuits, it says a lot about what our minds are set on. A mind that is set on things above trusts God's Word. It trusts that if he seeks first the kingdom of God, that he will not have to be anxious about the necessities of life. A mind that is set on things above will demonstrate this truth, this trust in everything that he does. The point is that the mind affects and controls our actions. Nothing we may say about our beliefs matters if our actions are not consistent with our professed beliefs. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, Solomon said, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Now in the context, he was speaking about the attitudes of a selfish and evil man, but the principle applies to all of us. This being the case, let's notice what Paul said are the effects of a mind that is set on things above. First, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, Paul spoke of what will be absent from such a person. He said, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality," that is, sexual immorality. "Your body is dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion or lust, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who consecrated him." A mind that is set on things above has set aside the old self and put on a new self. All the old evil practices will have been set aside as well. These things which characterize a mind that is set on earthly things will no longer be characteristic of such a person. Instead, he will be characterized by the qualities listed in verses 12 to 15. So continuing, Paul said, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Very simply put, a mind set on things above will manifest itself in a life that is marked by these qualities. It will do so because, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. A mind that is set on things that are above is one that is constantly renewing itself by the systematic study of God's Word and by intentionally making spiritual things the most important focus of his attention. This is by no means an easy undertaking, but it is simplicity in its purest sense. If we choose to set our minds on things above and follow through with this commitment, our behavior will reflect that choice. If our behavior belies such a commitment, it is because our minds are still set on earthly things. As we reflect on Paul's commands in this text, we have to ask ourselves, on what is my mind set? Our lives, of course, have already answered that question because what we dwell on in our minds will be reflected in our conduct. We must not allow ourselves to continue to set our minds on earthly things because the end of this is separation from God for eternity. Therefore, let us set our minds on things above, knowing that this is what God desires of us, and knowing that if we do so, our lives on earth will be better, and our reward will be great in eternity. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.